We started the show today. I said, May the 4th be with you.
I remember that.
And
sure.
What did you say to me?
That I hope your speech impediment corrects itself at some point.
This is a Star Wars day, May the 4th. 4th of May. May the 4th be with you. And this is an important day. Steve, you just reported your top story. The Friends of the Park have had this lawsuit going against the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art for going on 2 years. Bill, you remember we had the director of the Friends of the Parks on
mm-hmm.
2 years ago because we thought, boy, this is a crazy, frivolous lawsuit that's going to go nowhere. 2 years later, nothing has gotten better, and in fact, now it looks like Chicago may lose this museum.
How about that?
It's really stupid. In the studio with us right now is Michael Whitwer. And Michael, you're a writer, you're an author, you've written a book, Empire of Imagination. Go on with the rest of the title of that book.
That is Gary Gygax and the Birth of Dungeons and Dragons.
I didn't know how to pronounce Gygax.
Mm-hmm. So traditional pronunciation of
I
Gygax.
I gagged on Gygax a little bit.
Yeah.
You hold degrees from Northwestern University of Chicago, and you live here in Chicago, and you're a Star Wars fan as well.
I am. I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan. To call it even a fan might be understating it. I love Star Wars.
My husband, Jimmy Mack, is here, co-host of Rebel Force Radio, which is you can find at WGNplus.com. And he says that to me all the time when I say you're a Star Wars fan. You're like, don't call me that. Fanatic, aficionado. You guys love Star Wars.
We are pillars of the Star Wars fan community.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes. And May the 4th be with you.
Oh.
And also with you.
Everyone sounds like Cindy Brady all of a sudden, don't they? Everybody in the room.
Can I just tell you, it shows how often people go to church because I always say, and also with you, they've changed it now in the Catholic Mass to say, and with your spirit.
Oh, they do.
Just so you know, you have to follow along.
Michael, I want to point out with you, aside from all the credits that Wendy said, you also have something of a background in city planning, don't you?
That's exactly right. In my past life, I actually worked in for an urban planning and landscape architecture firm, and I'd worked on a number of projects as a project management and urban planner.
Yeah.
Most notably, the Buckingham Fountain Restoration Project in 2008 and 2009, which was a $25 million renovation to the Buckingham Fountain, which most notably laid the new permeable paver bricks.
It looks fantastic.
It's beautiful.
Great job.
Friends of the Park didn't bother you then?
They were involved. There was a consensus building process in which we had to get by them among everybody else that had a kind of skin in the game, if you will.
And I understand why they are here to preserve the lakefront. Was it Daniel Burnham that started this? You need to have an unobtrusive view of the lake. Is this it in a nutshell?
Actually, you know, it's a great question. I'm really glad you brought up Daniel Burnham, because Daniel Burnham is there's probably a picture of Daniel Burnham hanging in the Friends of the Parks office right now. He was known as one of the greatest architects, park advocates, and urban planners of all time. He was the head of the 1893 Columbian Exposition, the World's Fair. Burnham, in his 1909 Plan of Chicago, the most important urban planning document of all time, actually specified for lakefront museums and cultural institutions. Burnham was pro-museums on the lake. People don't know that. No one wants to talk about that. He is not the one that is behind the forever free and clear, the public trust doctrine. That predates Burnham by 70 years or so.
So how did he get away with getting museums built on the lakefront?
Well, it's a little bit of a story. I'm not sure how much in the weeds I want to go. So the way this all went about is that when they were trying to so Grant Park had formed in some very unusual ways. Grant Park is mostly man-made. It's actually the subbase of Grant Park is made with fill from the 1871 Chicago fire, wreckage and rubble that was landfilled in there. There was a breakwater that was at roughly the current shoreline. And that was all filled in with this wreckage and rubble they didn't know where to put after the 1871 Chicago fire. So Grant Park was man-made. When
I had no idea. I'm sorry. I'm not a good Chicago historian.
No.
I had no idea.
Well, and again, these are relevant items because I think it does affect the context of both the Friends of the Parks argument and how a lot of people see this. Everyone is looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, they want to build structures and buildings on my lakefront. Well, there's context here. It's a very unusual issue. So in effect, what happened was Grant Park at the time, there was a lot of private interests that were interested in doing things at Grant Park. Well, Montgomery Ward, who conveniently had his office on Michigan Avenue that was overlooking Grant Park and had this unobstructed view of the lakefront, didn't appreciate that Stanley Field, the nephew of Marshall Field, wanted to put the Field Museum of Natural History in Grant Park. The Field Museum of Natural History was meant to be built in the existing site of the Buckingham Fountain.
Yeah.
So Buckingham Fountain wasn't built till several years later, and there's more context there. But the gist of it is this. Ward challenges the placement of this museum that really is for everybody, right? It's this world-class collection of stuff that at the time was being housed in the Museum of Science and Industry, or what we know as the Museum of Science and Industry now in Hyde Park. Mm-hmm. Field wants to build this museum. Ward challenges it based on the public trust doctrine, which in effect states that special natural resources like lakefront land are forever to be public land, and they're forever to be open, free, and clear. Now, that is a little bit complicated. What does that mean? I mean, presumably it means free of structure. But one thing that I wanted to point out about the Friends of the Parks argument at this moment is that it really is that their challenge of the Lucas Museum is a gross misinterpretation of the public trust doctrine. The spirit of this doctrine has everything to do with the idea of protecting the public against private interests, i.e. railroads, hotels, yeah, amusement ventures, restaurants. That's what they were worried about. They were not worried about world-class museums run by not responsible not-for-profit groups.
Right.
This is not what the intent of the public trust doctrine was.
Can I ask a silly question? Going back to Montgomery Ward having a gripe with Fields, was that just strictly because of the fact that they had competing department stores? Is that part of it, or does that have nothing to do with it at all?
There's a lot of speculation about that. I'm sure there's something in there. I can't tell you one way or the other whether that's fact or not, but I'm sure there was something in there.
I would imagine.
All right, I have to ask you something. If there is this lawsuit going on, it's not for a private... I guess it's private because George Lucas wants to maintain the control of his museum, and with good reason. It's his collection that he is paying for to share with the city. And I think a huge misconception is you think George Lucas and you think Star Wars, and you think, oh, this is going to be a big, you know, Star Wars museum. That is such a small portion of it. The Museum of Narrative Art, I don't know for a fact, but it began in radio dramas and television and movies. And isn't that what it's all about? Weren't there going to be workshops? And this was a whole series of things that doesn't really focus that much on Star Wars.
Absolutely. And amen. May the fourth be with you.
And with your spirit.
That's good. I'm so glad you brought that up, because the Star Wars part of this is such a misconception, right? So there's a group of people out there that says, well, only Star Wars geeks are going to go see this. So firstly, let me start with the Star Wars part. Let's go ahead and just air that out. Star Wars is the most valuable intellectual property on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It is a $40 billion industry since it started in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars is not a niche interest anymore. It's not for geeks. It's the number one movie of all time, as we know it, The Force Awakens. This is not a niche interest. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most accessible realms of fiction that we have, really. So starting there, if it was just Star Wars, that'd probably be still worth it.
Exactly. But I think a lot of misconceptions came out there. This is a museum. You know, we have the Field Museum with all these exhibits. This is just going to be for Star Wars geeks to go to. That's not what it's about.
The Lucas Museum is actually going to host comic art, magazine covers, Norman Rockwell. George Lucas has one of the world's largest collections of Norman Rockwell art. He has artwork from all over the world. Wendy, you and me, we've been to Lucasfilm. We've been to Skywalker Ranch. We see the way that George presents his passions and his collection with taste and class. And we're talking about things that are far beyond Star Wars, things like Charlie Chaplin's hat is just sitting there mm-hmm. within George Lucas's collection. He has a massive collection of film memorabilia and historical pop culture artifacts that should be on display in a museum, not housed up in a warehouse in Marin
right.
or wherever he has all this stuff stored. Also, he's going to be taking in private collections. They're going to be donated to be viewed. He has tons of connections within the modern art world. And
how could this be a miss? How could we let this go out of our city?
It's the philanthropy of what he's doing. He's donating, gosh, almost $750 million of his own money out of pocket to make what is now McCormick Place East, the Lakeside Center, or whatever they call that thing, is former Mayor Daley used to call it the Berlin Wall of Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
and so we're proposing tearing it down, a smaller footprint being made by the actual Lucas Museum, and then beautiful parkland surrounding it.
But now the Friends of the Park are not going for that. We're going to take a break, and there's a rally that is happening this afternoon at 4:30 p.m. We'll have all the details on that, and I just think, you know, George Lucas and Melody Hobson are now saying, okay, whatever, we're going to shop it around. This is going to be a huge loss in so many ways for the city. We'll continue. We're talking with Michael Witwer. Jimmy Mack is here. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WG. It's Bill and Wendy, and Jimmy Mack is here from Rebel Force Radio. It's a podcast that you can find at WGN Plus. We're also talking to Michael Witwer, author, writer. You're from Chicago. You have a book, Empire of Imagination, Gary Gygax and the Birth of Dungeons and Dragons, degrees from Northwestern and the University of Chicago, and you've also consulted on a wide variety of projects, including, and most notably, the renovation of the Buckingham Fountain. All right, so the Friends of the Park have this suit going on where they want to preserve the lakefront here in Chicago. This has been going on for 2 years. Is it going to go to court? Why is this taking so long?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, ultimately, we're already entangled in a complex legal issue. And there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with me on this, but I fundamentally challenge the Friends of the Park's legal viability, their case. Yes, it is based on the public trust doctrine, which is inherently a very complex land use issue. But here's the problem. The Friends of the Parks knows that simply by engaging in a lawsuit, which can be initiated by any private citizen or any organization on this particular ground, they know that by getting it to trial, that the project will leave. It will encumber the project in such a way that George Lucas will take his museum elsewhere.
Because of the time element, Lucas's people don't want to waste the time. They want to get the museum built.
And why should they? They've been waiting 2 years to break ground on this, as this is almost a stall tactic. You don't think they'd win in court?
I think there's no viability to their case for two reasons. The public trust doctrine, it's fundamentally meant to protect, again, as I mentioned earlier, against private interests.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is twofold, one of which is that any judge in his right mind would initially look at the land use precedent and say, goodness gracious, this is they're going to build a museum on the museum campus. There's already a precedent in place for building on this man-made land, this exact protected man-made land that's already under the public trust doctrine.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing to look at and say, well, that it checks that box. The second part is how compelling the public interest case is. Offering this access to this one-of-a-kind, objectively important collection. Jimmy, do you know the numbers on what it would really ultimately provide us?
Oh, my God. We're talking about Lucas alone making a donation of almost $1 billion to the city of Chicago to refine that area of Lakeshore. We're talking about 1,500 construction jobs, 350 permanent jobs, decades of tourism dollar, educational opportunities for all the kids within the city and beyond, and access to George Lucas's priceless collection of artwork. So there's a lot at stake here, and it's slipping through our fingers, folks. This is a unique and awesome cultural opportunity for the city of Chicago, and it's slipping through our fingers due to a technicality an arcane and an obsolete technical loophole.
So how do we help? There's a Save the Lucas Museum rally that's happening this afternoon at 4:30 p.m. 17 North State is that where it kicks off. This is kind of last minute, but this is last minute right now because they're going to bail on us.
You know, Wendy, I have it on very good inside authority that we are an eyelash away from losing the Lucas Museum. Not even more so than people realize, an eyelash away from this thing flying away as early as the next couple of days. So to that end, we thought it was important to actually rally the troops immediately. And we'll have somewhere between a gaggle and a throng of people this afternoon. So, no, please come out and support this thing. I cannot tell you how important it is. I think people up to this point thought, we're playing a game of chicken with the Friends of the Parks, but they'll never go through with this. Well, they've gone through with it. It's a done deal now. It is the 11th hour, and we are almost at a point where this thing's literally about to fly away. And I believe if people really realized that, they would come out and support our cause and really put pressure on this group to back down. They need to compromise.
So leave work early today. Leave the office a half an hour early. 4:30 p.m. start time. Save the Lucas Museum rally. It's happening at 17 North State. That's where everybody's congregating. And look at how hard the city tried to get the Olympics here. Do you
right.
remember that?
Sure.
And that would have entailed some building on the lakefront. And that would have come and gone. This is going to be here forever.
Forever.
Michael, can I attend dressed as an Ugnaught? Would that be okay?
What is an Ugnaught?
Oh, don't pretend you don't know.
I love Star Wars,
come on.
But I don't live it and breathe it. What's an Ugnaught?
I don't know.
I'm missing the joke here.
don't look at me.
We don't know what that is.
All right, I don't know what anything is.
All right,
so we will put a link up on our Facebook page on WGNradio.com as well. This is it. It's come down to the 11th hour, the 11th second. Save the Lucas Museum Rally, 17 North State Street. It kicks off at 4:30 p.m. today. And good luck. And I believe we're going to have some coverage going on this. And I hope there are millions of people that show up. Will George Lucas be there?
You know, you never know. Never say never.
Wouldn't that be nice? I hope he gets to see this. I'm sure he's a little bit upset about all this. I'm positive he is.
You know, I'll go back to, again, a source that I kind of a friend of a friend. But yeah. I can tell you one thing that I think is bothering George and bothering his wife is that he wants to see that Chicago wants this.
Yeah.
And again, we are being held hostage by an interest group right now that does not represent the majority. Let's show them that this is not the majority feeling
right.
about the Lucas Museum.
Right.
Why didn't this rally happen earlier? Why did we wait so long? Did we think that this was just going to go away? Because I know there was news yesterday that, you know, they decided to suspend the lawsuit. And then a little later in the day, we're not really going to suspend it anymore.
Yeah.
So there's a small portion of people that I get what they're going for. They're trying to, you know, beautify the lakefront. But how are they to speak for the rest of the city?
Michael, we should have had an inflatable museum ready to blow up and put in place yesterday while they suspended their lawsuit. We should have had a museum thrown in there. Guys, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate
Thanks,
this.
Guys.
And what is your website? How do people find your blog that you have, Michael?
Thank you. My website is Empire of Imagination. That's www.empireofimagination.com. Or you can find me at thelastgenxer.com.
Michael Whitwer, Lucas Museum Rally today at 4:30, 17
North State.
Good luck. May the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, beautiful.